Beginning of the seventh chapter, at the end of the sixth chapter, Krishna has concluded his discussion of yoga, Jnana Yoga, Sama Yoga, by saying, Yogina Mapi Sarvesam Madgitain Anuttaratmana Sadavan Bhajate Yonam Same Yukta Tamo Mataha. So that means, of all yogis, Yogina Mapi Sarvesam, of all yogis, Madgitain Anuttaratmana, one who is worshipping me, within, inside, always thinking of him, always abiding in Krishna. Sadhavan, with great faith, bhajate yomam, and worshipping me, or serving me, worship and serving combined together is bhaj, or serving me with devotion. So of all yogis, one who is focused, thinking of me within, and worshipping me, sadhavan, with great faith, same yukta tamo mataha, he is the greatest of all. I think saying. So how to do this without even being asked? So the Prabhupada and Acharyas have pointed out, Krishna's going to explain Madhyatena and Dharapana, how to always think of Krishna within. And this, to think of someone, you need to understand him, or you need knowledge about him. So this chapter, the seventh chapter, is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Now, if one is practicing Jnana Yoga, what does Jnana Yoga mean? What is the practice of Jnana Yoga?
One is seeking knowledge.
Yes, but what is the practice? What does he do?
Yeah.
Go to the university?
Analytically assess one's position in this world, one's relationship to.
Speculation. Yeah, when Prabhupada says speculation, oh, is that true? What does he mean?
Thinking that God might be like this or like that.
That's what usually we mean, but Prabhupada includes anything on the ascending path, using one's own abilities to find out this, about the Supreme Lord. He calls that mental speculation. What he basically means is that just by the, because the mind moves within its own realm. Because the mind, as we shall hear later, is one of the material elements. So it moves as one of the material elements, it moves only in the material realm. So by inspiring movements within the material realm, trying to understand the spiritual realm, that's what Prabhupada calls mental speculation, or anything on the ascending methodology. You, starting with one's own ability, starting with one's own mind and intelligence, trying to understand the Absolute. So that's mental speculation, and that's also the path of Jnana Yoga. But the path of Jnana Yoga is very meditative. That means one doesn't practice Jnana Yoga and stay within the world, because if you're in the world, it requires action, it requires doing something, even if what you're doing is going to college. You have to do it. Did you go to school this week? Or is it more vacation?
No.
Did you do all your homework? And did you prepare for the exams? Did you have any exams? And you didn't study? How did you do? Not bad. Okay. So if you're living in the world, you have to act. It's unavoidable. But a Jnana Yogi doesn't want to live in the world. He wants to completely remain aloof from the world. He considers that if he acts in this world, he's going to entangle himself in karma. So he specifically wants to not act in the world and not engage in any activity that's going to bring a reaction and not therefore entangle him in the material world. So he really doesn't want to be in the material world. He's not like a karmi who desires to enjoy the material world, but a jnani has a different type of a desire, the desire for liberation. He doesn't want to touch the material world at all. He doesn't want to become entangled. He's had enough. So he's called mukti kami. He desires liberation. So the practice of understanding that the jnanis have is to meditate. That's how they gain their knowledge. They meditate and try and discern themselves as different from, they analyze the material world. It's also Sankhya Yoga, basically. They analyze the material world and see themselves, the soul, as different from the elements of the material world. And this is done without any activity, but done just through the introspection and non-engagement in any karma, which obviously is a difficult thing to do. How are you going to not do anything? Today I'm going to really try hard to not do anything. So you're trying hard to not do anything, and you're trying hard as a doing. So it's very, very difficult. One has to be really fully in the mode of goodness to do it. And still it's very difficult, it's very precarious. But in any case, their process of knowledge is meditation. So what is the process of knowledge? Well, mental speculation. So what is the process of knowledge that Krishna is going to suggest? Not that. He's going to suggest the methodology of bhakti. And how does one get knowledge in bhakti? He's going to describe that. Because how are you going to, you're going to think about Krishna, so you have to know about Krishna to think about him. Always madgatena antaramana. So he's going to describe how you find out about Krishna. So Sri Bhagavano Vacha, what does that mean?
Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
Yes. Maya Shaktamana Parta Yogan Yunjan Marasraya Asam Sayam Samagramam Yata Yas Yasi Tat Shunu. So Maya Ashakta. Maya means to me, Mayi. To me Ashakta Mana. Ashakta means attachment. Mana means the mind. With mind attached to me. So attached to Krishna. Krishna speaking. Yogam Yunjan Madasraya. Yoga, this, by practicing this path of self-realization, madasraya, in consciousness of me, in Krishna consciousness. So in other words, with mind attached to me, thinking of me in Krishna consciousness, asam sayam samagram mam. Without a doubt, asam sayam samagram, completely mam, to me, yata gityasi tashunu. Just try to hear. Hear now, you listen very carefully now, and you will hear by how to practice, about this practice of thinking about me always with mind attached to me, and without a doubt, you can know me, by this process of hearing about me, without a doubt, with mind attached to me. What does it mean that one's mind is attached to Krishna? Yeah, so what's an example of something that naturally someone's attached to?
Mother looking for the child. Right?
Mother, yeah. Etc. All the relationships of this world, or a greedy person, what is he always thinking about, how to get more and more money, person who's, there's so many different attachments we have in this world. So what Krishna is explaining is how to get one's mind attached to him so you can know him without a doubt. So here's Prabhupada's translation. And here, how to do this. Now here, O son of Prita, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Asam Sayam, free from doubt. What does it mean to doubt?
To not have faith, full faith.
Yeah, okay. That's a negative definition. What does it mean to doubt? Huh?
Not to
trust. That's another negative definition. Not to trust.
Could it have a different conception from the statement?
Not quite. Because then, because like if you say the sky is blue and I say it's red with pink polka dots, so you wouldn't say I'm it's a doubt. It's
right.
A complete difference. So what is a doubt?
Faith in something else.
Yeah.
Faith in that which is not.
Well, okay. What would you say it is?
More of a reservation.
Yeah, saying yes and no at the same time. And that's what plagues us in Kali Yuga. We say yes and no at the same time. Krishna's God, yeah, but he's always going to protect me, but I know that he's really Supreme Lord, but so if one practices this, that's what doubt means. Yes and no at the same time. So this is how Krishna's going to explain how you can know him in full, because there's different levels of knowing Krishna. One level is Brahma, next Paramatma, Bhagavan, and then of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Raja is knowing him in full. It includes all the others. Just like if you really know the king in his private quarters, then you also know him on his throne and through his agency of the government, if you actually know the king. So you can know Krishna in full in all his different aspects by practicing yoga in full consciousness of Krishna, by connecting to Krishna, fully thinking about him. With one's, the only way to do that really is to have one's mind attached to him. Because when one's mind is attached to something, thinking about that thing is completely natural and it is effortless. You don't have to remind yourself, now I should do this, and now I should think about this, and now it's just completely natural. But if your mind isn't attached, it's so difficult to always think about something. You have that experience? It all has to do with attachment of the mind. And when our mind is attached to things other than Krishna, because the mind's business is to hold on to something and to push something away, it can only hold on to one thing at a time, basically, or be pushing one thing away at a time. So if it's holding on to things in the world of matter, then it's very difficult to hold on at the same time to Krishna. So therefore that's the part of detachment from the material world. So anyway, Krishna's going to say, now here, listen to what I'm going to say, O son of Prita, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. What do you think about that? Good or very good? Wow. Marasraya means taking in consciousness of me, Krishna consciousness, taking shelter of me only. Yoga yunzam marasaya, by practicing this Krishna consciousness while taking full shelter of me. That means not taking shelter at the same time of a material activity or the process of jnana, taking shelter of it to protect us, to save us, to
give us the shelter that we're looking for. So that means practicing pure devotional service. We'll read from part of Prabhupada's purport. In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yoga. At the end of the sixth chapter, it has been clearly stated that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yoga. Very clearly stated. Sradhavan vajateyamam samna yuktatamamata yuktatamam is the topmost yogi Krishna says I consider him. So that was at the end of the chapter. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. So what is the process? Understanding the absolute truth completely, understanding Krishna completely? Yes. And what is the alternative process? No, I mean alternative process to find no Krishna in full. Yes, that's what Krishna is directly saying. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. There's no other way to do it. What are you laughing? Impersonal Brahma Jyoti, or localized Paramatma realization, is not perfect knowledge of the absolute truth, because it is partial. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. So it is implied why the process of Krishna consciousness thinking of Krishna is the only process that will give one full realization, is because if you think about Krishna, which means your mind is attached to him, because you can't think about Krishna without your mind being attached to him, and it is revealed. Krishna reveals it. If you think about Krishna, and Krishna will think about you, and he will give you the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, he will give you the intelligence, the ability, the Krishna consciousness to come to him. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to a person in Krishna consciousness. In complete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is ultimate knowledge beyond any doubts. Different types of yoga. So how could you know something without a doubt? What do you know without a doubt? We know this table is here. Does anyone doubt the table is here? Because we're saying doubt means yes and no at the same time. So we could, okay, all things... All those who think the table is here, yes, raise your hand. All those who think the table isn't here, raise your hand. Okay, so doesn't seem to anyone who doubts. I was then going to ask if anyone thinks both it's here and not here. You'd have to be reading quantum physics or something to be that confused. So what do we know without it? Why do we know that it's here without a doubt? Yes. Huh? Did you ever see something with your eyes and you thought it was one thing and then it turned out to be not really there what you thought? Well, like a mirage in the desert, or there's so many optical illusions.
It's experience that we have. We see and know and experience
at any time. You know, if you're not really sure right now, if anyone has doubts, you can come touch it, you can bite it if you want to and taste it.
It was here yesterday, it was here last week.
And it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's here now, we have faith in it. Okay, but we know it's here. We have, so, knowing Krishna without a doubt is like that. That you have your realization is so deep, and your experience is so deep you don't have any reason to question. Now, if we had that faith in Krishna, how would it feel? Like a rocket ship. Huh?
It's tangible and solid. Because, mm-hmm. You look at the table and you just take that for
yeah,
granted. You don't have to think about it again because it's obvious.
It's obvious. So how would you feel?
Uplifted.
Uplifted. How would you feel?
Safe.
Protected. Yeah. How would you feel?
Reassured.
I've got everything. Free of?
Doubt.
Huh?
Doubt and knowing that everything.
What would you do then? Did you ever, isn't that an interesting question? What would you do? What would you do differently if you actually maybe wouldn't do something differently?
Exactly what Krishna wanted us to do.
What? Yeah, okay.
It works in synchronicity with your belief.
It wouldn't be divided. Divided mind. That's one of the definitions of neurotic behavior, divided mind. We're going in two directions at the same time. It's like this sort of. Yeah.
How are you the phenomena? Easily available and cutting it.
Yeah. So, by practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, namely the absolute truth, the living entities, the material nature, and their manifestations with paraphernalia. What does that mean? You know actually what the living entities are, that's clear. You know what the material nature is, actually, you see it as it is, and their manifestations, with paraphernalia. Now what does the paraphernalia part mean in there? Just like the different manifestations, I would say it means the different manifestations of the material world, you understand? All the different aspects of the material nature. This is an aspect of the material nature. You could look at it and say it's wood, you could look at it and say it's atoms, but you could also look at it and say it's a table. So what does it mean to see, to know the table in Krishna consciousness, like it's saying?
It's Krishna's energy.
Yeah, right. Okay. No, but what does it mean to know it? What is the implication of that?
Another relationship between us.
Between this?
How we think Krishna and me.
Okay, but we're talking. Right. Okay, but that's the idea. If it's Krishna, you know its actual function. So to know the soul, to know the living entity, means to know that he's part of Krishna, not only to know he's eternal, but eternally a part of Krishna. And then to know that chair or the table in full is to know that it's also part of Krishna and it should be used in Krishna's service. So how to use everything in Krishna's service, not to reject anything, practically speaking, nirbandhasa Krishna sambandha yukta vairagyamchitta. How to use everything in Krishna's service, how to use all the different parts of yourself in Krishna's service. I saw that with Prabhupada. And you know, usually when you think of a holy man, we have a very like shallow idea of like a holy man. First Prabhupada broke that conception. He didn't even have a long beard. And holy man is always like peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. But Prabhupada would get angry. And he was very ambitious. So ambitious. He would love to have taken over the world. He would fight. He was such a full person. He had all the qualities. And he knew how to use all the qualities in Krishna's service. This is described by Narottama Das Thakur in Prem Bhakti Sanjaya. So what we do often is we think, oh, I'm a devotee, I shouldn't be like this, I shouldn't be like this, I shouldn't be like this. And then we take all those qualities of ourselves that we are and we sort of like hide them back there so they, rawr, and they come out and attack. Prabhupada, he was so full. He was even afraid. What do you think about that? What was he afraid of?
Maya.
I don't think he was afraid of his Maya. I think he was afraid of our, that we would all get into Maya. He didn't seem to be afraid of. He is Maya proof.
Is better than fire proof.
And better than earthquake proof also. There's no earthquake proof. One should therefore begin practice. Yoga practice is directed in the last verse of the sixth chapter. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in 9 different forms. Navanga Bhakti, of which Shravana is the first and most important. The Lord therefore says to Arjuna, Tat Shunu, or hear from me. Okay, so what did we just hear from Krishna? Who remembers anything we just talked about? What do you remember?
In the last paragraph?
Last paragraph or the last? Yeah. It's hard, isn't it?
Only one way to remember Krishna and to know Krishna fully.
And that is?
And that's just surrender and just everything.
To always think of him. We didn't mention surrender at this point. It was just to always, in other words, one's mind becomes fully absorbed in Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates with that by revealing himself to the devotee. It's very, very simple. And Prabhupada's going to comment on the simplicity of it in a few moments.
By doing that, does that automatically mean you become detached from that?
Yeah. But yes. But Prabhupada explains also that we just heard him say how to do this. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in 9 different forms. In other words, even though this is a very, to always think of Krishna, always be thinking of Krishna as a very exalted consciousness, but there's a process of attaining it, and that is prescribed. That's the rules and regulations and things. And the Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtanam Vidantasto Yavada Vidanoti Suratsatam. If one becomes eager to hear about Krishna, Krishna from within the heart purifies, removes the impurities from within the heart. He himself does that. Vidantasto, sitting in the heart, Yavadrani. All the inauspiciousness he removes, Yavadrani. We develop this desire to hear. Now we'll go to the second verse. Yanam
teham savigyanam idam vakshami asesataha yajyatva leha buyo anyas yatavyam avasishyate.
I shall now declare to you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. Phenomenal means the material world, and numinous means the spiritual world. This is jnanam savigyanam, numinous knowledge and spiritual knowledge. And Lord Acharya's translates, the jnanam is knowledge of Krishna. I shall declare to you knowledge of Krishna. And also, they translate vigyanam, sweetness, Krishna's sweetness, which is fully spiritual. So, I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous, material and spiritual knowledge, because ultimately there's no difference between material and spiritual in the sense that everything comes from Krishna. The material also comes from Krishna. So, yeah. So it's possible to look at the material world and also see Krishna. That's one of the things that Krishna is going to explain in this chapter. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. And there's a purport at the end of the purport, quotes a verse that he often quoted from the Mundaka Upanishad. Kasmin bhagavo vigyate savamidam vigyatam bhavati. And when you know this, there is nothing remaining to know. If you know about Krishna, you actually know about everything. Now, what does that mean and what doesn't it mean? It doesn't mean that you'll know exactly how many ants there are in Gopinath Dham. It doesn't mean that you will know how many, what's another silly example?
How many stars in the sky.
How many stars in the sky.
Grains of sand.
Grains of sand, windows on the Empire State Building. That doesn't mean what it means to know everything. It means you know Krishna and you know everything in its accurate, you know everything accurately, properly in relationship to you know what everything is. In relationship to the whole, because what Maya's specific function is to give us a sense that things are separate from Krishna. Separate from Krishna. And that means is not Maya, means is not. So to know things inaccurately is to see things separate from Krishna. And that begins with ourself. We see ourself as our body, and we see ourself, experience ourself as separate from Krishna. That's what it means to be a conditioned soul, to feel ourselves, to experience ourselves as separate from Krishna. So that is very distressing, because then we're all alone in the material world. So the material psychologists will say, well, you don't want to feel that's reality, that you are alone in this material world, all separated and alienated. And you like to think of that there's a God, just to comfort yourself, but that doesn't mean that there is. But actually, it's a fact that as soon as there is no concept of taking shelter of the Lord, it's like so many of the devotees said, we feel safe if. But as soon as we don't have him to take shelter of, and we feel that he's not there and we don't have a relationship with him, life is so empty. There's nothing there and there's no shelter. And ultimately we're faced with with not having any idea of what happens when we're leaving this world. Well, your father's final realization was that he's going to continue, though, right?
Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Because you see yourself, your body's deteriorating, and maybe your mind, but you, the person, doesn't change, is not changing at all through all these different transformations of the body and the external circumstances. It's quite amazing, actually. Unexpected, probably, for him as well, huh?
Yes. 2 months before, he was saying, the lights just go out, and that's it.
Yeah.
He was described himself in that an atheist.
So to see oneself as separate from Krishna is the function of Maya, to give us that consciousness where we're separate from Krishna. We can't be separate from Krishna, but to experience ourselves as separate from Krishna. That's the function of Maya, and the process of Krishna consciousness is to turn towards Krishna so that we see him, just like when we turn our back to the sun. What do we see? The shadow, yes. We see the shadow, or if we turn out with the light even, you can see the shadow coming. If this was facing here, you'd see the shadow of the object. You don't see accurately, you don't see reality. So turning towards Krishna, this is the process of sadhana bhakti, specifically this, to turn towards Krishna. We'll just read the beginning of Prabhupada's purport. Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. This is transcendental knowledge. So why is Krishna going to explain this to Arjuna? The Lord wants to explain the above-mentioned system of knowledge because Arjuna is Krishna's confidential devotee and friend. So if you know everything in relationship to Krishna, you've achieved an understanding of reality. So nowadays people think of education. What's education's purpose? What do the people think of education's purpose? And what's the purpose of the degree? And what's the purpose of to get a job? To make money. So the purpose of education ultimately is to make money. But here the purpose of education is to knowledge is something completely different. Of course you can look at it in slightly different ways. The purpose of education is to find a satisfying career, something satisfying to do with your life, and in addition make money. But here education is being defined, and the purpose of knowing is something different. It's to understand everything in an accurate perspective, understand everything in relationship to the absolute truth. In other words, to understand reality is the purpose of education. And then someone may ask, okay, if that's the purpose of education, then how are we going to make money? How are we going to live? And what's the answer to that? What did you say? Education? No wonder they kick you out of school regularly. So what's the purpose? So how are we going to live? How are we going to have a job, a career? No, but I'm saying if education's purpose is to understand reality, the absolute truth, and education's purpose is not to just to make money and get a job and a career, technological education, then if we understand the absolute truth, how are we going to make money and support ourselves?
If we understand the absolute truth, we know that people help us to get along with the life,
yeah.
Whatever we do is fine. an educated person understands that I will receive that challenge by the grace of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Huh? Just live with your family.
Yeah. Practical man over there.
Sponge off your family. Yeah, but everyone's not in that situation. Everyone can't do that. But it's an interesting concept, though.
Let me say, like a family.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Live like a family. What do you mean?
There wouldn't be money because everyone would live ever in a family.
Mm-hmm. Take care of each other.
Sharing their things.
It's nice.
You teach him too soon.
Yes, I've teased you. Please forgive me. You're making a deep point.
Very wise.
And the animals too, yeah? You know? Take care of the animals too. Mm-hmm. Any other? Somehow or another, you'll take care of the other needs of your life. But you won't think that that is your life. And according to the Vedic system, because everyone won't be on this level of understanding the absolute truth. So there was a backup support system, which is described in the fourth chapter, known as Varnasramadharma, where everyone had a way, according to his mentality and psychophysical nature, mentality and physical body, everyone had a way to support themselves, and interestingly enough, a way to be successful. Because it's important on the psychological level to feel successful. Because if you have a satisfying career, it means to be successful in your life's path. So everyone needs that. So people should find something that matches their psychophysical nature, and therefore they'll naturally be successful. So in the Varnashrama system, the people had a mentality that was naturally had a mentality, because people married within their own caste, as we would say. So people who had business tendencies would marry business people, and the result would be kids who would get happy doing business, and people who were teachers married people in the teaching community. So therefore the result would be kids who like to teach. So it was very structured in that way. So therefore everyone had a natural and simple way to maintain themselves, and so they could go on. And if someone transcended that, if he was, due to his development of knowledge, was beyond that, he didn't have to participate fully. But again, the emphasis was that the purpose of life is not to make money. The purpose of life, the emphasis was, is to find out the truth, absolute truth. Any questions about this? I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous, being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. So again, it's not going to tell you how to, if you know this, if you become a devotee automatically, you know how to program in C++ and Microsoft Visual Basic and what accounting software do you use?
Navision.
Huh? Doesn't mean you will know Navision?
Navision, it's a Microsoft.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you know that. You know those things. When it said nothing shall remain for you to know, but it means you'll see everything in its proper perspective. Like that. And for the practical things on how to get along in life, the recommendation is actually living a simpler lifestyle, as simple as practical. Of course, that's very hard for us to do because we're You know, we've been trained and brought up in a different way, in a different culture, in a different mood. But that's actually Krishna's recommendation: live a simpler lifestyle and minimize your needs, material needs, and keep them as simple as practical. Because right now, culture is based on consumerism and being in debt, practically speaking. Everyone is in debt, so much debt. Tendency. And consume and consume and consume and increase your needs and increase your desires and buy and buy and buy. And the result isn't that people are happy. More in anxiety. So a different focus and a different purpose of knowledge, different type of training in life. So Krishna's going to now explain this to Arjuna. This knowledge, and if you know this knowledge, you won't need to know anything else. In the third verse. Also a very famous verse. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yattati siddhaye yattatam api siddhanam kaschid man vetti tarpata. Out of many thousands amongst men, so this is so rare. Out of many thousands amongst men, one may endeavor for perfection. Because the tendency is for people just to be, I don't know what the right word is, that's still polite. The tendency is for people just to be involved in the material aspects of their life and they forget. Tendency is so strong. The whole focus of their life is on the material side, forgetting that they're only here in this world for such a short time. So out of thousands of men, one may endeavor for perfection. So out of the thousands of people, there's maybe one who decides he has a spiritual purpose in life and he's going to try for it. And out of those who have achieved perfection, so even if those attain perfection, Krishna says, hardly one knows me in truth. So it is a wonderful thing. It is a very rare thing. It is a very special thing to know Krishna. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport. That's the end of the purport, the last paragraph. It is not possible for the Brahman realized impersonalist or the Paramatma realized yogi to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yashoda or as the charioteer of Arjuna. Even the great demigods are sometimes confused about Krishna. Munyanti Atsuraya Mam Tuveda Nakastina. No one knows me as I am, the Lord says. And if one does not know him, then Sa Mahatma Sadhulava, such a great soul is very rare. So what does it mean to know Krishna as the son of Mother Yashoda or the charioteer of Arjuna? It's interesting putting those together, because in one, Krishna has grown up and he's a charioteer for the great warrior Arjuna, and the other, he's a little boy, the son of Mother Yashoda. So why put those two together? Because he could have said so many things, the son of Krishna or the friend of Krishna. To know Krishna means to know his mood, to know the truth, is to know how he becomes subordinate to his devotees and bhakta-matsa. And we read that on Janmashtami, that verse from the 10th canto of the 11th chapter, where Krishna performed these childhood pastimes to show even the great demigods, Muyanti Yatsuraya, even the great demigods and sages are bewildered about Krishna. They don't know his nature of being loving to be subordinate to the devotees. Aham bhakta padadino hi asvatantra yuva duja. So this is knowing Krishna, knowing his nature. It's going past kings sitting on the throne and knowing him more fully than that, and going into his private quarters to know him as he is and knowing what he likes. To know him, the truth means to know him fully, what he likes, what really pleases him, how he deals with his intimate, loving devotees. Such a great soul is very rare. Therefore, unless one practices devotional service to the Lord, one cannot know Krishna as he is, even though one is a great scholar or philosopher. Only the pure devotees can know something of the inconceivable transcendental qualities in Krishna, in the cause of all causes, in his omnipotence and opulence, and in his wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Because Krishna is benevolently inclined to his devotees. So what's the reason why no one else can know him other than the practices of devotional service? Pure devotional service? Yeah. So what does that mean that he's inclined to? Yeah, he says, well, I'm like this. This is what I'm like. And all this, remember, comes about by the process of hearing about Krishna. That process of bhakti is not an ascending process, it's the process of hearing. And if we're eager to hear, then Krishna helps us too much. He is the last word because he's benevolently inclined to his devotees. He's the last word in Brahman realization, and the devotees alone can realize him as he is. Atak si Krishna namadi namaved bhaya nindiyai sevan mukhi zivadal svayam eva svarachyadal. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses. What is, when Prabhupada says blunt material senses, what does he mean? What does he mean?
By our usually rationalizing.
Yeah, and blunt. What does he use the word blunt?
The potential of any one of the senses to perceive is limited.
Yeah.
It's blunt.
Blunt. What's the opposite of blunt? Sharp. So we don't have sharp senses that can pierce reality. We have dull, blunt senses. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to the devotees. Why? Being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service unto him. So what pleases Krishna and causes him to reveal himself? What did it say specifically? Being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service unto him. So we tend to hear those words so many times that we don't hear the words anymore. Being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service unto him. So first of all, the service is done unto him. It's not just something we do. And the service is loving. It's done as an offering to him, that's bhakti, for his pleasure. And it's transcendental. It means it's got nothing to do with this material world. It's done in that spirit. Nothing. Just for his pleasure, yeah. Sevan Mukhi Hivadao. Process of wishing to please him, developing a serving mood. Okay, we'll end here. Any questions or comments for a minute? Where do you live nowadays, sir?
I'm living in Scarborough.
Yeah, near the beach?
Close.
Just go up Marshall Road, Beach Road?
Scarborough Beach Road.
I'm not too far from any questions. Yeah? Yeah. Okay, your questions or comments? Tomorrow. So I'll try again. I will to hear more about Krishna. Shiva Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Did anyone get any deep answers to any, or any answers to the deep penetrating questions that were in their minds?
I really appreciated a moment of contemplating what it would be like to have it to be free from doubt. That was quite a good thinking.
Well,
even though I'm not.
Oh, I don't. We don't believe. She just says that all the time out of a deep,
right.
Doubtless
right.
Humility.
Sorry, Mom, just can I ask that last part about her senses are so dull and blunt, and for them to become ready to show.
No, they can only ever become dull. That's what they are. That's not the process of achieving Krishna. Not through, in other words, we can't see him by our senses, by our eyes. We can't smell him. If you read Chaitanya Charitam for the last chapters, Mahaprabhu, the transcendental senses, is experiencing Krishna, and it's not of this world. So we can't perceive Krishna with these things. We perceive him by his mercy, which he bestows upon one who performs selfless devotion, loving transcendental devotional service.
So they remain dull, you're saying?
Well, they can get sharper, but they're basically dull.
Material senses are always dull.
Yeah, like there's the pastimes in Vrindavan of people who are blind who could see Krishna. Because they even though with their senses were dull, but their devotional spirit caused Krishna's mercy to come. In other words, if we had sharp senses, we couldn't see Krishna. By the power of our sharp senses, because there are people with like eagles and vultures that have really sharp eyesight, and you have dogs who can have a really good sense of smell. Yeah, tigers do too. That sense of hearing. It's your taxi?
No, it's a taxi.
Oh, who is it from? Maybe it's Krishna.
Maybe.
What are you doing, service?
Wake up. Wake up, sleeping dog.
Krishna says, wake up, sleeping soul. Maya says, sleep, waking soul. What to do? Okay, so see you tomorrow.